me get to my notes here. We're turning to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This message was born out of a letter from Hannah Licklider. I got a letter from her yesterday, and all of her letters are just wonderful. Of course, she's got her phone back now. She's made it through basic. She's no longer a basic cadet. She is now a cadet. And acceptance day is tomorrow, and it's really neat what they do because the Air Force is accepting these new cadets as just that, cadets. And so they're in a family now, if you will. And Brother Craig, I'm assuming anyone and everyone is invited to this. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So tomorrow, got to get my phone working here. Tomorrow, August the 10th at 9:30 here at the church, we'll be showing Hannah's graduation. So if you'd like to come and take that in, you are more than welcome to do so. But anyway, a couple, 3 weeks ago now, she just asked the question, where would you point me to read God's Word daily? She said, I'm just struggling, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that. I've said that years and years ago. So when I first got here, it wasn't required, but it was strongly encouraged to go to a particular seminar held by a man named Bill Gothard. It was called Basic Life Institute, something along those lines. And so I went. It was great. It was a week long. It was unbelievable, all of the material that you gathered, in, if you will. There are several things that I was encouraged. It's kind of like eating fish. You eat the meat and you throw the bones away. But I'm telling you, I got so much meat in that 1 week, it was worth a few bones to choke over. And so, and I'm saying that obviously figuratively and somewhat joking, but I still to this day live by several of the principles of God's Word that I had never been exposed to until that seminar. With that said, one of the things that he encouraged us to do was to read the Proverbs that corresponded, the chapter that corresponded with the day of the month, and also to read 5 Psalms each day. So if you're starting at the first of the month, it's Psalm 1 and then add 31 days. So Psalm 32, add 31 numbers, I'm sorry. Psalm 62, so on and so forth. Of course, you know my math. Don't trust my math, but you get the point. And so in doing that, you read the book of Psalm and the book of Proverbs every month. It's just a tremendous exposure to God's Word. And so that's what I encourage her to do. So all that's kind of fresh in my heart and mind, and so I'm trying to make sure that I'm staying faithful to that. And so earlier in the week, I'm reading Proverbs chapter 3. Probably, as a chapter goes, my favorite chapter, because within this chapter is probably my favorite verse. And so I started preparing that verse for this message on Monday or Tuesday. Well, I got to digging. There's a lot of really good stuff all around 3 and 5. And so I thought, well, I don't think I can just limit this. So we've got a 3-hour sermon that we're going to get done hopefully in 30 minutes. If you'll listen fast, as they say, let's all stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. Oh, Jake's like 3 hours. Or have you ever sat through a 3-hour sermon with me? But I have the ability of making a 30-minute sermon feel like 3 hours, don't I, Jake? Amen. Amen. All right. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find understanding and good, favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Those are the two verses that started this. And then verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this crowd today. I just ask you to open our hearts and minds to you and to your word. Change us, Father, to look more like you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. So, one of the most interesting verses for me in this passage is verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And very honestly, again, I've read over that verse about 12 times a year for about 30 years. And I'm still struggling with exactly what it means. So I dove a little deeper. And I come across a fellow that honestly probably not going to have time to read his commentary, but I agree with what he says. And so the first title of this message was A Healthy Gut. But I thought, once we got a little deeper into the 12 verses and not just those few, this is the simple title of this passage, our message. Slow soaking in Proverbs 3. Slow soaking. I want us to do that. And yes, we're going to be mindful of the time because we've already done first service and we survived that time limit. I'm sure we'll survive this one too. But I'm begging you to give yourself to this message and please listen. First of all, Adrian Rogers makes this statement. And he uses the Proverb 22:6. I'm sure you've heard it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Here's the devotional thought that Adrian says, and out of this, again, I heard this probably 20 years ago, and I've remembered it ever since. Some parents have almost put themselves in an early grave, Adrian says, because they've had a wayward child. Someone has taken this proverb and beaten them all over the head with it. Friend, this verse is a proverb. If you read the book of Proverbs and try to turn Proverbs into promises, you'll lose your faith. A proverb is a proverb. A promise is a promise. A precept is a precept. A parable is a parable. A prophecy is a prophecy. You have to be careful. There are proverbs that tell you the way to be wealthy. Does that mean everyone who follows one of these proverbs is automatically going to be wealthy? A proverb is a general principle that when generally applied will bring a general result. That's good stuff. Now, watch this. If you're like me, you might be thought, well, if that's all it is, why do it? Because the things that God is offering to you, even if it's not a promise but a generally applied principle, will change your life forever. If you've got an option between no blessing and general blessings, I'll take general. If you've got a opportunity to poverty, if you will, or generally wealthy, let's just go ahead and take a chance. Because watch this. If you get poverty, you've still got God. And watch this. Poverty's going to go away when you go to heaven. And you're going to have more than name him or her, the richest people on this earth and planet experience. You're going to have more than all that. And so remember, he who gets Christ gets it all. And so it's so important, though, that we not turn these proverbs into promises. Lord, you promised me. No. It's a general principle that when generally applied will bring a general results. So the action point, he says, instead of grabbing Proverbs as promises, let's ask God for discernment. He desires us to rightly divide the word of truth, not to use it as a club to beat up fellow believers. And that verse that he referred to, 2 Timothy 2:15, which is the Awana motto verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I've always been faithful when I read that verse aloud. I share with you what Kenneth Digby shared with me at college in our chapel. I just never will forget this. Kenneth Digby stood about this tall, and he was from Texas, and he talked like this. He was real loud when he preached. And he said, steady study makes one sturdy. And he said it over and over. And then he said, y'all say it with me. So we all said, steady study, because we're from Arkansas, you know, so it just, we all fit. Steady study makes one sturdy. That's that verse. And so now that verse is a promise. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean, rightly dividing? It means getting in there, tearing it apart, and putting it back together, and now you know what God's trying to say to you. And it's extremely important. So command number one. Command number one. And so what I did, as I went through these, I found that Solomon would say something here, and I'm sorry, David would say something here, and then he would give you the promise, if you will, the generally applied promise, that if you do this, this is what's going to happen. So we're breaking it into commands and rewards. Command number one, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. So obedience. Obedience is the first command that the author here is telling his son. Now, there's a twofold meaning here because we have two fathers. And it works for both. You have an earthly father that if you, and I know, again, this has to be generally applied. Not every person has a good father. I respect and understand that. If you didn't have a good father, I don't know what to tell you other than my heart goes out to you. And you've got to turn to your heavenly father. But those of us that had good fathers, it benefited us to obey him. It really did. It benefited us to do what he said to do. And not later. That was the quickest way to bring God's dad's judgment. If he told me to do something and said, I'll get around to it. Man, I got around to a lot of stuff. Oh, yeah. He gifted me to do a lot of stuff whenever he told me to do it. Did you know that that's the best way to respond to God the Father also? Instant obedience to the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. That is the best definition going for walking in the Spirit. Instant obedience to the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. So, just for giggles, and Bo and Brent can't take part in this one because they got the first one. Did you get your chocolate bar? All right. So there's a chocolate bar on the line for 20-year-old and younger. Where is the Ten Commandments found at in Scripture? The book and chapter?
Exodus.
20. Jake gets a candy bar. All right. Now, I thought about, what about this? Jake, the whole box of candy bars, if you can tell me the Ten Commandments in order. What's that? Melissa? All right, got one, number one.
Thou shalt not take my name in vain.
Don't help him. Don't help him.
Honor your father and mother.
Okay. You lost the box of chocolate bars. Now, so here we go. Hey, he did really well. Here we go. Have no other gods before me. Do not worship any graven image. Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's where you messed up. Honor thy father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet. We've said this many, many times. You want to live next to someone that believes these. More so, you want to live next to someone that practices these. Okay? But watch this. You have no control over that. You need to be the neighbor that believes these and lives these. Don't lie to your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't steal from your neighbor. Just fill in the blank. These are the Ten Commandments from God. You do not have to worry about what God wants you to do. What does God want me to do? He wants you to keep these Ten Commandments, not to earn your salvation, but to show your gratefulness for your salvation. It's called holiness. Jesus summarized these two in the book of Matthew when the ruler asked him, what are the greatest commandments? And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. Love God, love others. You and I will be the gospel witness that God wants us to be if we will do those things. So that is command number one, obedience. What's the reward? to command number one. For length of days and years of life and peace will they add to thee. Now again, and I said this in first service, and we have families here that you can say, wait a minute, Brother Ben. My brother, my sister, my mother, my dad, fill in the blank. They did those things and they didn't have a long life. It's a general principle applied. And so watch this. But is that God's fault? Absolutely not. Death is not God's fault. Death is God's escape plan from this life. And death is here because of sin. And sin is here because of great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy Adam and Eve type thing. And you and I, the Bible's very clear, we're sinners by nature, by birth, and by choice. And so we are to blame, if you will, for sin. We are to blame for death. But your God provides you a way out. But watch this. So why this point? He wants the people that are spreading his gospel to live as long as they can. He wants us to do, he honors you by obeying his commands by long life. And I love that word, peace. Church, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to live a long life if I can't have the peace of Christ in my heart. I'm ready to go right now type thing. But with the peace of Christ in my heart, I can make it through tough days. I can make it through tough challenges. Command number two, let not kindness and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. What the world does that mean? Memorization. You need to give the Holy Spirit his weapon. Now, you might say, no, wait a minute, Brother Ben. The Holy Spirit, he's God. He should know what he wrote. He does, but he needs you to know it. And when you know it without having to necessarily flip open the Bible, now praise God for these things, the Bible app, hallelujah, and Google, yeah, you can Google it. Just put three words in there. It'll come up. I've done it many, many, many times. But church, the key is that when you give the Holy Spirit his weapon, he uses it effectively, first of all, on you, and then for the people that you're trying to help. So what is this command, number two? To be gentle. Let not kindness and truth forsake thee. So you're going to be gentle. And I lovingly warned the first service, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but it's extremely important that if you struggle with these things, let's have a come to Jesus time and let's get right with God. Softness of manners, mildness of temper. My family's praying for me to get victory in this area. Sweetness of disposition and meekness. That's what the word kindness means. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. Bummer. Sorry, Craig, but I'm going in the power of that one drink. I'm good. And I will clean that up so Shirley doesn't have to. I knocked over my water. Church, you don't always see the times that we are tender to, if you will, inanimate objects, but even animals and the such. I had a time here 2 weeks ago. I had some baby chicks that were about 3 weeks old, and that's not old enough yet to put them out. But just straight up honest, I had gotten to a point where I needed to get them out of where they were because of the smell and this, that, and the other. And so some of the other chicks were a little older, so I'm like, probably, because the weather had kind of chilled out then. But that was kind of the problem, too. And so we got hit two Thursdays ago. We got a big old storm came in, blew rain into the little hut that I'd put them in. And I walked out to eight baby chickens dying. Lost one, but out of those eight, I saved seven. And how did I do it? Brought those little guys in. I toweled them off. I got the hair dryer. You should have seen those chicks. You just kept stretching that nail. It feels good. Yeah. And I put some of them, what we call the redneck incubator, I put some of them, and they were stretched out doing that. And I'm like, but I'd already put them through everything I knew to do within an hour. Every one of them up and doing their thing. Yeah. And I'm like, it worked. It worked. Watch this. But do you know why it worked? Because someone was gentle with them. Someone took the time. Church, listen to me. If we're not careful, we care more for animals than we do our disciples. We're bad to shoot our wounded. You failed, dead gun, boom, you know. I really had high hopes for that guy. You know? And so we move on. We can't do that. Church, when you and I find a hurting brother or sister, we've got to go into this mode. Let mercy, what's the word? Let not kindness and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5:22. Kindness, benevolence, tenderness, mild treatment. And then the word truth. Accurately reporting past facts. You've got to love them enough to tell them the truth. Accurately reporting past facts. So what's the reward for obeying command number two? The reward to gentleness and truth. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Blessings from God and man, and influence. When you're gentle, you get an opportunity to bless people. Influence. Command number three. Trust in Jehovah with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. Church, the only way you're going to do these three things is to be humble and to seek God. Be humble and seek God. Did you notice that? Lean not unto thine own understanding. One of the mottos that I have and that I try to make sure that you have, sometimes you're the worst person to take advice from. Don't take advice from yourself, especially if you're trying to determine whether or not to do something that the Holy Spirit is ringing the bell. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't take advice from yourself. Trust in Jehovah. Trust in God with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Lord, should I do this? Lord, should I go this route? Watch this. And the reward to obeying, number three, he will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. I love this. Your own personal tour guide. Your own personal tour guide. Number four, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Jehovah and depart from evil. Church, again, this kind of goes together. Reject your wisdom. Respect his ownership and ability to carry out judgment. Now, we struggle. We struggle with this term, the fear of the Lord. What in the world does it mean? I'm still trying to grasp it because, number one, it's important. Number two, I need to practice it because the fear of the Lord is elevated to a very high place in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding of God. I mean, there's just so many things that are attached to the fear of the Lord, so we really need to know what it is. But watch this. It's not on this end God waiting for you to mess up so he can stomp you. It's not that. It's not a touchy feely thing, though, that, oh, well, you know, you just need to know he's there. It's not that either. It's not. You can't reduce the fear of the Lord to he's just a nice little grandpa, gives you candy when you come by. You can't do that. So, again, this is a definition that I picked up 30 years ago. Fear of the Lord is understanding that he judges every word, thought, action, or deed. And I really believe we've got to start there and move out from there. Now, he's not judging you again to stomp you. He's judging you to try to keep you in that path that leads to the narrow road. He wants you to be an absolute contributing citizen to the kingdom of heaven. But you can't do that if you keep going on the paths of sin. So to know that God loves you enough to correct you, he judges every word, thought, action, and deed. I think that's a good place to start on the fear of the Lord. So that's the command number four. What's the reward to that? It will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The reward of humility and fear of God is healthy vibrance. And it may not be physical health, but it's, have you ever walked into a person's room, bless their heart, they're 300 years old, you know, they're just about out the door, but they've got a spirit, they've got a twinkle in their eye. Dorothy Anderson was like that. Gertrude Jennings was like that. And we could just go on with the elderly saints in this church that used to sit where you're sitting. And they had an absolute pure eye, pure spirit. Why? Because they feared the Lord. They feared the Lord. So, what does this mean? Health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Remember, this was what started it. So, Mr. Clark says in his commentary that for the health to thy navel, in his opinion, this comes from the baby in the womb. That baby gets all and everything that he or she needs from one source, that umbilical cord that attaches him or her to mom. And if you and I will absolutely submit to God and fear him in love and respect, you will have what you need. It will be health to your navel. And then marrow to the bones. It's really just two of the same illustration. The marrow supplies what the bone needs. The bone gets brittle and breaks at ease when there's no marrow there, or not healthy marrow. And so it's extremely important, church, that you and I understand that just as an umbilical cord to a baby, just as marrow to the bone, if you and I will not be wise in our own eyes, but we will fear Jehovah and depart from evil, we're going to be healthy. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. We're going to be healthy. And those two are connected many, many times. Number five, we're close to being done. Command number five, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So the outward show of humility and gratefulness is your tithes and offerings. What's the reward? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy vats shall overflow with new wine. The reward to faithful giving is more blessings. Command number six, my son, despise not the chastening of Jehovah, neither be weary of his reproof. Church, correction is the sign of love. Why would you rock the boat with someone if you do not care for them? But if you care for them, you're going to love them enough to tell them something they really don't want to hear. I'm looking for a blonde-headed kid. He's perfect. We can talk about him all we want. Tony's in children's church. Of course, I know some of you will rat me out, but that's okay. Tony's and I's relationship has gotten to the place now that I know he doesn't want to hear what I have to say. Dads, please hear me. That should not matter to us. From the standpoint of, if it's the truth of God's word, they still need to hear it. We'll get to the friend stage, which is where I'm at with Molly and Benjamin. We'll get to that stage. But right now, I am still in the parenting stage of, baby, this will kill you. This will hurt you. This will sidetrack you, such of that nature, if you don't correct this or if you do that. And so we find ourselves almost every day, but watch this. We work through it. We work through it. And if I show out and do the wrong thing, if I'm not gentle, I have to come back and own that and apologize. And he probably gets apologized to at least once a day right now. That's where we're at. But watch this. It's important that he sees and hear Dad do that. because now dad is practicing what he preaches. But it's detrimental to him if I give up on lovingly correcting him when things are wrong in the name of, well, I just want him to be my pal. Well, he's not going to be a very good pal if he doesn't do what God wants him to do. And I'm not being a good dad if I don't love him enough to tell him what can hurt him. And right now, it's just the whole, you can ask him. So what analogy does dad use to you to, it's always the employer and the employee. That's right. Babe, you're not going to be a good employee if you don't do this. And your employer is not going to like it if you do this. And so, because church, watch this. I have a firm conviction. If Christian young people will be the best workers in their job, they just might win their boss to the Lord. That's right. And they will absolutely be on the fast track in most cases. It's a general application. But it's so important that we teach our young people in this. So, what is that? And I'm looking here. Last command. Despise not the chastening of Jehovah, neither be weary of his reproof. So what's the reward? The reward to accepting correction as a sign of love, for whom Jehovah loveth, he reproveth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Now, parents, no matter the response that you get from your children, you and I should still do the right thing. And so, to all three of my children, I have offered opportunity for relationship. Hey, you want to go fishing? Hey, you want to go to the museum? Hey, you want to go to the zoo? Whatever the case may be, I've offered opportunity for relationship. Now, I forgot to do this in first service. I'm embarrassed because this is worth the trip today. Me and Benjamin went fishing. We've reversed roles. When I was younger and he was younger, it would be, Benjamin, need to get ready. If we're going to go fishing, we've got to get ready. Let's go. Let's get in the car. Get your stuff, Benjamin. Get your waders on, son. Come on, son. Get your fishing pole. My goodness. The bell's fixing to ring. Come on, let's go. Well, now it's, Dad. Dad, we're going to be late. Come on, let's go. What are you doing? Get your stuff in the truck. It's reversed. So he was after me. I mean, we were 4 minutes from the bell. And I had forgotten a few things, but I thought, I'm just going to go with him and get this first part out of the way, you know, because I'm trying to have a relationship with my son. And so I've got my waders on, which I don't know if you've wore waders, but they're a little restricting. So you're getting around. You're walking not as good, and I don't walk as good without any restrictions right now than I used to. So I notice in the grass is a manhole cover, probably closer to a sanitation cover, but I think it's got to be solid, and it was in my way. I was going that direction. So I put my left foot on it. You know what it did? It tilted. It gave way. So I gave way. I fell and I rode. It surprised me and Benjamin. I laughed, he laughed, and then he said this. You okay, little buddy? I felt my face get red. Y'all know Benjamin. He handed out his hand to help me with that little smirk on his face. And I slapped his hand. And I told Dawn, I didn't think of it. I should have just took him out right there. I should have just, we just roll, you know. And I think we'd have both been laughing so hard we wouldn't have been able to pin either one of us. You help me, buddy? But that, I have laughed about that ever since that. And in church, I would never claim to be a successful parent, never. I am a faithful parent. I would never claim to be a successful pastor. Husband, Christian, by God's grace, I am a faithful, all of those things. I strive to be, I want to be. Pray for me as I pray for you. But I'm telling you right now, these commands, if we will obey them, these rewards will be generally applied. And out of six, we have pretty good odds to get one of them, type thing. And so I'm just loving you and encouraging you. Let's strive to live by these. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? Did Bethany stay for second service? I don't see her here. So Bethany was here for first service. This is the last Sunday that she's going to be with us for a while because she was accepted. She was originally accepted for the spring semester, but because of COVID and such, there were some openings, and so now she's been accepted for the fall semester at School of the Ozarks in Branson. She's just thrilled and excited. Family's thrilled and excited, but we prayed over her in the first service, but we'd just like for you to be aware of that and to pray for her also. Amen. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand on that. Amen. In a crowd this size, it's quite possible that there's someone here that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is an invitation. We're inviting you to do that. If you'll come forward, we'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Maybe you just want to turn this into an old-fashioned altar, whatever the case may be. Will you come?